Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Description of the Varnashrama system, text 54. Itam param risham mukto,
itam param risham mukto,
grihesvatitivadvasan,
grihesvatitivadvasan,
nagriha anubhadheta,
nagriha
Nirmamo nirham kritaha. Ittam parim risham mukto.
Ittam parim risham mukto.
Grihesvatiti vadvasam.
Grihesvatiti vadvasam.
Nagriha anubhadheta.
Nagriha anubhadheta.
Nirmamo nirham kritaha. Ittam parim risham mukto.
Ittam parim risham mukto.
Grihesvatiti vadvasan.
Grihesvatiti
vadvasan. Nagrihayanubhadheta.
Nagrihayanubhadheta.
Nirmamo nirham kritaha.
Nirmamo nirham kritaha.
Ittam. Thus, Pradim Risham, deeply considering, Mukta,
a liberated soul,
Griheshu, at home, Adityvat, just like a guest, Vasan, living, Na, not, Grihai, by the domestic situation, Anubhadheta should become bound. Nirmama, without any sense of personal proprietorship. Nirahankrita, without false ego. Translation. Deeply considering the actual situation. A liberated soul should live at home just like a guest without any sense of proprietorship or false ego. In this way, he will not be bound or entangled by domestic affairs. Purport. The word mukta, or liberated, refers to one freed from all material attachment. In this status, called Mukta Sangha, one no longer identifies himself as a permanent resident of the material world. This liberated status may be attained even by one situated in family life. The only requirement is that one should take up a serious program of Krishna Sankirtan, which includes constant chanting of the holy names of the Lord, worship of the deity, and participation in the Krishna consciousness movement. Without a serious program of Krishna Sankirtan, it is very difficult to give up the iron shackles of attachment to women and the byproducts of such attachment. Translation again. Deeply considering the actual situation, a liberated soul should live at home, just like a guest, without any sense of proprietorship or false ego. In this way, he will not be bound or entangled by domestic affairs. Om Agena Timranandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksha Unmilitangyena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just see how comprehensive Lord Krishna's instructions are to Uddhava. He's explaining to Uddhava how you can live at home at the same time be a liberated soul. We've been getting some deep insights in the preceding verses about what is the ideal attitude to be a transcendentalist even at home. We've heard that one should not become mentally unbalanced at home, thinking, I'm the Lord of everything around me and my home is my kingdom where I rule for my pleasure and everything goes my way. We've also heard that the intelligent householder can view all the past so-called experiences of happiness in life, note that they've been temporary, and therefore the intelligent householder can predict that all his or her future material happiness will also be temporary. So we have these two things to focus upon. Don't become mentally unbalanced, thinking the home and the family is the universe in which you are the Lord. And use your intelligence. By understanding the past, you should understand the future. That material happiness is temporary. We've also heard that the intelligent householder understands that the wife, the husband, the children, the relatives, the friends, the whole package of social life. It's just like the brief meeting of travelers at a hotel. Maybe you've had the experience of going to some holiday spot, some hotel, whatever, and you make acquaintances there. And then when your time at the hotel or the holiday spot is over, you separate. Bits of grass float on top of the ocean waves. And the waves sometimes bring these bits of grass together and then separate them. So who will base their whole life on such a shaky connection? But we're so eager for relationship that we'll do that. This eagerness for relationship shows that we want to revive our dormant relationship with Krishna. But forgetting Krishna, look what we have to go through. Such a confusing, temporary network of relationships. A network that's so baffling. You can see today, people are so puzzled how to have relationships because the material energy is so strong. Having relationships is, even in the material sense, is not natural anymore these days. Therefore, people have to consult so many books about how to have relationships. This is due to the force of the illusory energy. In the age of Kali, a prominent symptom of the age of Kali is that there's separation in relationships. This is, in other words, all this relationship anxiety and distance between husband and wife, parents and children. This is all part of the age of Kali. It's pre-packaged, pre-programmed. So don't take it as otherwise. That why is this happening? This relative is here. That relative's way on another continent. That's like I was talking. I hear quite often from our devotees, from India, how, oh, sisters in New York, brothers in Los Angeles, mothers in Delhi, it's normal these days. But we should understand this is a symptom of Kali Yuga. That even when you have what seems to be a nice family, nice friendship, nice marriage, there's separation over big physical distance. Travelers meet at a hotel for a brief moment and then they separate. Similarly, people come together in families and friendships and then they disperse. Just like when you take a job, so many of you are working persons, you have acquaintances at the workplace and there's so much emphasis on bonding. Often our devotees, they feel pressured that if they don't participate in the company's social life, they are branded as not enthusiastic about the progress of the company. So you are encouraged, yes, you must partake in the after work trips to the pub and becoming a team and becoming one in spirit. But what happens sooner or later? People leave the company. They go here and there. Even the persons who are urging you, you should be part of a team, you should bond with us, they also leave. This is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, it's very difficult to keep it together. This is the age that, through the force of time, Kalina Balina Raja, Prichit Maharaj hears this from Shukadeva Goswami. The force of time. Time has bala, it has strength. It's not just tick-tock, tick-tock. Time is pushing things on you. And one of the things it's pushing on you in Kali Yuga is separation between those, between dear persons who are related in friendship, family, so on. We are told that we should consider how bodies change in dreams. You dream yourself doing so many things, and you wake up, and that dream situation, that dream body is gone. In the same way, during the day, we dream we have so many bodily relationships, but actually, after such a short time, we're separated from those relationships. So therefore, what is the conclusion? Deeply considering the actual situation. We must put some time and some energy into deeply considering. And it's not just something you do once. The whole purpose of having daily Bhagavatam class and daily studying of the Shastra is that every day you deeply consider. Now, does that sound too much? Every day, deeply consider your life. We're not worth that much. Kali Yuga makes it so that you don't take yourself that seriously. In Kali Yuga, you don't care for others and you don't care for yourself. Deeply consider my life every day? Oh, who can do that? Just let things happen. You see, in Kali Yuga, people, they don't have self-respect. They don't care for themselves. They allow themselves to be caught up in so many unsavory situations. But yes, an essential part of Krishna consciousness is that every day you deeply consider the actual situation of life. This is why we're having Bhagavatam class, Bhakti Shastri, studying of the books. So every day, now this is actually a luxury. This is extraordinary wealth. Where else in human society can you go for every day considering the actual situation of your life? Isn't your life valuable to you? Doesn't it mean something to you? So why not give it the best? So the bhakti lifestyle gives you the best opportunity to deal with your life. But as I said, people don't want to deal with themselves. They want to run from themselves. In their efforts to run from themselves, they imagine, oh, I'll enter this situation, I'll enter that situation. They can't deal with themselves, but they want to take on so many situations. So therefore the Bhagavatam says, deeply considering the actual situation of your life. Many people are afraid of that. Oh, I don't want to think about my life too much. Just let me go with the flow. Let what happens, happens. So please understand that in Krishna consciousness, every individual is taught to take his or her life very seriously. So much so that every day you deeply consider the realities. And you know what will happen if you absorb yourself in material existence. You'll never get this opportunity. Simply every day you'll deeply consider external flickering realities. That's all. You'll be caught up in the flickering world of superficial, external things. You'll never deal with the essence. I know sometimes people become frightened about dealing with the essence every day. They become a little paranoid that, you know, I like Krishna consciousness, but it's just that every day your life is, you know, thinking about your life is just put right into your face. I don't know if I want to do that. I want to hide from myself. I want to pretend. Just see what happens in the association of devotees. You can't hide behind your body. I'm a this body or I'm a that body. You can't hide behind your ethnic designation. I'm Australian or I'm Indian or I'm a Hindu or I'm Christian. No facades, no veils to hide behind. So some people become a little afraid of that. Because I want to be the body. I want to be a designation. Upadhi, the Sanskrit word. If you take away all my designations, what will be left of me? I'll have to really think about who I really am and what I should be doing. Our program is Sarvopadi Vinir Muktam Tatparatena Nirmalam. Cleansing all the upadis, Sarvopadi. Then you're free. These designations are what burden you, bind you. But sometimes foolish people think that it's the spiritual regulations that bind you and burden you. Therefore, they are afraid that if I follow the rules and regulations of bhakti, my life will be restricted. But actually, the restrictions are coming from the upadis. I am this body, I am that body, I am a young man. Because I am a young man, I should be enjoying because I am a young man. I am a young woman because I am a young woman. I should be thinking how the world can be a nice, safe, secure place forever. So as soon as we burden ourselves with all these designations, then we restrict ourselves. Real freedom is to take up the lifestyle of the bhakti. That's the real freedom. But we're so foolish, we think that the Krishna conscious lifestyle is restricting us. Getting up in the morning, chanting prescribed number of rounds, reading the books, going to the temple, doing some service. I want to be free. If you want to be free, then you have to deal with your material designations. Come out from under their influence. So we are told that deeply considering the actual situation. A liberated soul should live at home just like a guest, without any sense of proprietorship or false ego. In this way, he'll not be bound or entangled by domestic affairs. Now let's think about that. Living at your own home like you're a guest. Does that sound very difficult? Living at home means it's your place. It's your Vaikuntha planet. Where you can show your four-handed form. There'll be Lakshmi Devi massaging your feet. There'll be all the little expansions gathered around you. The Bhagavatam is instructing us that we should consider living at home like a guest. In other words, I am living in Krishna's house. Krishna has allowed me to stay here. These are practical instructions. Most people will be householders, so therefore the Bhagavatam has to have so much instruction for how to live at home and make spiritual advancement. But please remember this point, to live at home like a guest. I'm only here for a short time. So you don't do that in a negative way. You do it in a positive way by making Krishna the proprietor of your home. Krishna is the master of the home. Not that you simply say, it's not my home, it's not this, it's not that. This is negative. You can't actually live in a negative way. Nothing belongs to me. This is not my wife, these are not my children, this is not my home. I am detached from everything. Now, the positive is where the power is. The power of the positive means it's all Krishna's. This is Krishna's family, Krishna's home, and I am here to serve Krishna's family and Krishna's home. For Krishna consciousness to appear real and practical to people, we need ideal householders who can demonstrate all these teachings by their life. Because as I said, most people will become householders. If one can live at home and make spiritual advancement, and if the family members are not impediments to advancing in Krishna consciousness, there's no reason to think about detaching yourself from the home. What you detach yourself from is the false sense of proprietorship. We're not Mayavadis, dry renouncers. We recognize that the home has value in that it's Krishna's. So why should we renounce something that is Krishna's? We should use that something in Krishna's service. If there are impediments at home to Krishna's service, then at the appropriate time in life, one can consider disconnecting from the home. But if the home is a vibrant marketplace of the holy name, a vibrant chakra for serving Krishna, there's no need to give it up. We can think of the example of Gadadhara Pandit. When Lord Chaitanya wanted to leave Jagannath Puri to go to Vrindavan, as he started on his way, Gadadhara Pandit also wanted to come. He couldn't endure the separation from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya reminded him, you have taken the vow of Kshetra Sannyas. That's a vow in which the husband and wife, as householders, promise they'll stay in a particular holy place and they won't leave. They won't go outside. Or they won't take a foot outside that holy place. It's a form of vanaprastha, detached household life. But Gadadhar Pandit didn't care about this vow. It's a rut. He didn't care about this vow. He wanted to go with Lord Chaitanya. That was the most important thing. So he told Lord Chaitanya, to hell with my vow of Kshetra Sannyas to remain in Jagannath Puri. Who cares for it? Simply by being near your lotus feet, I will have the best of everything. Also, Gadadhar Pandit had taken a vow of rendering service to the Gopinath deity in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya reminded him of that. And again, Gadadhar Pandit said, one serves Gopinath millions of times just by serving your lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya pleaded with him, if you come with me, I'll get the blame for your breaking your vows. The guilt will be on my head. Gadadhar Pandit had an answer for that also. He said, okay, you happen to be going to Navadvip. I'm also going to Navadvip. We just happen to be going to the same place. But you do your thing, I do mine. It's not that just because we're going to the same place that, you know, we are together and you have to get the blame for what I do. So you proceed and I'll proceed, and we just happen to be walking to the same place. There's no question of your getting the blame for my breaking my vows. You just walk ahead. I'll also be walking, but you don't worry. We just happen to be walking in the near each other, going to the same place. So that's what they did. But finally, after a while, Lord Chaitanya relented. He called Gadadhar Pandit. All right, we might as well walk together. But then they got a little further, and Lord Chaitanya externally displayed anger. You've come far enough. You have to go back. So, Lord Chaitanya went on without Gadadhar Pandit. Immediately, Gadadhar Pandit collapses on the ground unconscious. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya picks up Gadadhar Pandit and tells him, look, this is the way of the Leela. This is the way the Leela goes. Like in material life, people sometimes have that expression, well, that's the way life is. So these are the transcendental dealings of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya gives him the transcendental equivalent of that's life, that's how it is. He says, this is the way the Leela is. The Lord has his sweet will. Sometimes he is soft as a rose. Other times he's hard as a thunderbolt. That's the way the Leela goes. And then, to encourage Gadadhar Pandit, it was pointed out to him that just like Krishna protected Bhishma Dev's promise, Krishna sacrificed his own promise not to fight, not to touch a weapon, just to protect Bhishma's promise. Because Bhishma had promised that unless Krishna breaks his own promise, I vow that Arjuna will be dead. So Krishna was more interested in protecting Bhishma's promise, the promise of his devotee, than he was in maintaining his own promise. So similarly, it was pointed out to Gadadhar Pandit that Lord Chaitanya would rather feel the pain of separation from Gadadhar Pandit than to have Gadadhar Pandit break his promises. Just like Krishna endured the breaking of his own promise to keep Bhishma Dev's promise, similarly Lord Chaitanya endured the pain of separation from Gadadhar Pandit, just so Gadadhar Pandit would keep his vrat, his vows of service to the Gopinath deity, and never leaving, never going outside Jagannath Puri. So these are the deep dealings of love between Lord Chaitanya and his associates. Lord Chaitanya is showing there was no need for Gadadhar Pandit to leave home as a householder. He was fully absorbed in Krishna's service. We have to be practical and note that if we're living in the vicinity of a temple, it's much easier to engage the family in Krishna's service. We have to understand it's Kali Yuga, Kalena Balina Raja. We point out the force of time is pushing so many things down upon us. So we need to be near a shelter. We need to be near the association of devotees. Have ready access. Just like when people are making moves, moving their house from one place to another, they want to check. Is there a school nearby, a good school nearby for the children? Or is there a shopping center nearby? Is there a park nearby? Or is there a tram stop nearby? Or an exit for the motorway, is it nearby? So the Krishna conscious family person considers, how close is the mandir? How close is the association of devotees? That's the number one consideration. As much as possible, householders who are determined to be Krishna conscious should have a temple-centered life, because it's easier that way. There's so much pressure from Kali Yuga that on your own you can easily snap. So much pressure. Pressure of separation we talked about. Therefore, it's a great benediction to be part of a thriving devotional community. That's the easiest way in the age of Kali, to chant Hare Krishna in the association of devotees. We'll stop here and ask any questions. Yes. That's why we have Bhagavatam class. Bhagavatam class is a deep daily consideration of your life. Where have you noticed that? Here means? Well, it depends on whether you want to take your medicine. If you recognize that you're sick, then you want to follow the medical prescription, what the doctor says. Indeed. If you value your life because it's part of Krishna, your life is Krishna's energy, then you want to deeply consider your actual situation. That's a luxury. Hmm. In material life, you're forced to deeply consider the actual situation of your workplace. They want that of you. They want samadhi. Think about the company. Think about profit. Think about cutting costs. Think about it night and day. Then you're a good company man. We're simply wanting to give people the real wealth of thinking about their life in Krishna consciousness every day. To have your life placed right in front of your eyes is a great benediction. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham evanukam partha baham gana jantama nashayami atma bhavashto gana deepena vasvata. Out of compassion, I as the super soul in your heart will let you see your life right in front of your eyes. I'll illuminate the dark interior of your heart with the shining torch of knowledge. So Krishna is telling you, I'll let you see yourself. I'll put it right up in your face. That's a benediction. Because seeing the enemy is half the way to victory. Seeing the dirty things in the heart is half the way to cleansing them. So we need to reverse our consciousness and take it as great wealth and great happiness to have the realities put right in front of our eyes. We don't want to run like rabbits are supposed to do, close their eyes in the face of danger. So yes, the bhakti training is different. Devotees need to understand that. We love to face the realities, the actual situation. Anything else? Yes. Well, are you wearing rags? Rags. Are you sleeping on a bed of nails? Moderation has to be there. Live simply and save time for Krishna consciousness. It's not that you have to go out of your way to torture yourself. Go out of your way to serve Krishna and then live simply while doing that. That's the intelligent way to live. Don't go out of your way to get comforts and luxuries. Go out of your way for service to Krishna. Anything else?
Every day. And like to be in reality, like if we study Bhagavad Gita, we see that so many problems in Kali. And in like, are we not being a little bit too pessimistic by just focusing on how Kali is rather than being a little bit more positive?
That's why I say you can't live life fully and properly in a negative way. If you just say, this is not my home, these are not my family members, nothing is mine, I'm just a guest here. Krishna is telling you these things in the context of emphasizing bhakti, devotional service. We thrive through the positive. It's Krishna's home. These are Krishna's family members. I'm just their servant. So, any jnana, any transcendental knowledge given to Uddhava by Krishna is always embedded within bhakti, devotion, the positive. Krishna is the supreme positive. So you simply think, My money belongs to Krishna. My house belongs to Krishna. These are Krishna's family members for me to serve so they can go back to Godhead. That's the supreme positive. My body, mind belong to Krishna. Thinking like that is very easy when you're part of a thriving devotional community. You'll have Krishna conscious friends, Krishna conscious situations, social life, festivals. When you're an active member of a thriving devotional community, everything comes easy. Otherwise, if you just isolate yourself in your own planet, my home, my wife, my slave, my children, they all look like me and they'll do whatever I say all their life. My car, my Vaikuntha chariot. My home entertainment system. How much wider will my widescreen TV get? Right? Isn't it like that? I'm a successful man. Rising in the corporation, climbing the corporate ladder. I told you the story how my father at home, he would have a special antique desk. It was like a small antique desk in a special corner of the house. And every Saturday morning, he would sit down at that antique desk, and with an antique letter opener, he would slit open envelopes containing the bills. You know, there was no electronic transfers then. Everything was paper. So all the bills to be paid came through the post. So with great seriousness, every Saturday morning, his off day, he would sit at the antique desk with the antique letter opener and open the bills. And I could see he was feeling a great sense of responsibility and proprietorship. I'm a bill payer. Of course, we don't want to criticize fathers who are maintaining their home. But at the same time, I'm talking about the attitude of proprietorship. I'm sitting at an antique desk with an antique letter opener. I'm paying bills. That attitude I'm talking about. So even though I was a little boy, I was quite amazed by this. I was always watching. I don't understand. What's the big thrill in sitting down at a desk paying bills? I failed to capture that sense of proprietorship and ego that I am the maintainer. As a little boy, I couldn't understand that. I was too busy having proprietorship over my toys. So I couldn't understand. Father's ego. To see how many bills I can pay. So then he would very solemnly write out a check for each bill. I remember sometimes, you had to go to the bank, and so all the children he would put in the car, he would drive to the bank. We'd have to wait outside in the car. But he did it very seriously. On the other hand, one of our great acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, says in one song that I will certainly provide an income to maintain your family, Krishna. It's your family, and I'll work to maintain your family. And I'll be like a dog, a watchdog, outside the door of the home, guarding your family, Krishna. That's the proper attitude. these family members are my responsibility for guiding them back to Godhead. Therefore, the Shastra says in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, don't be a mother, father, husband. Don't take any position of responsibility unless you can guide your dependent to make an end to the cycle of repeated birth and death. And as Srila Prabhupada would often point out, this is the best birth control method. If you can't guide the child back to Godhead, don't have children. What do you think about that? Oh, sounds too severe. Children are just meant to be the joy of the parents and bring prestige and happiness to the parents. No, children are there to be guided back to Godhead. Anything else?